Okay, they asked me to talk about love, which is one of my favorite topics to talk about. Before we came here, we were sitting on the fifth floor eating, and some students were having a debate about the situation between Russia and Chechnya. And it's quite an active debate. And I was very pleased to hear people here think of something outside of Singapore. Because my experience in being in Singapore, and I've been here, I've come to visit several times since 1987, is that if it's off of the island, it doesn't exist unless it affects your rice bowl. So I was quite happy to hear students discussing international affairs. And it made me think, well, what do I think about the situation between Russia and Chechnya? And I realized how much my views about these kinds of topics had changed since the time when I was in university, which was before I knew Buddhism. I was in university during the time of the Vietnam War, which maybe was before many of you were born, so it's kind of like ancient history. But for me it was very real because some of my friends were going off to war and not coming back, or coming back in body bags. And I began to wonder, why are we going to war in the name of peace? Because that was supposedly the motivation for fighting for peace. And I didn't get it then. I still don't get it now. The government's still giving the same reason for going to war, just a different president in a different country. This is in my country. But I realized when I was in university, I used to get quite agitated about these things and really take sides and say that there was one side that was right and one side that was wrong. And I realized in listening to these other students today that I view political things in a much different light now. I don't tend to take sides and say one is right and one is wrong, because very often the mentality in both sides has something lacking. Or sometimes the mentality on both sides is very similar in that it's hostile. And the thing is that we never are going to bring about world peace as long as we're using anger as a way to get peace. The Buddha said very clearly that hatred is never resolved by hatred. And that's exactly what is going on in a war, is both sides' minds are very imbued with hatred, each side thinking it's right, each side thinking it's morally superior, each side wanting to vanquish the other, and there being a total absence of love and compassion in the process of it. That never seems to work to resolve conflicts. That's what human society has been doing since long before any of us can count. And still wars are happening, still conflicts are happening, still hatred is growing. And you can see that what the Buddha said is very true. You know, conflicts and hatred are never resolved by more anger and hatred. And he said very clearly that love is what resolves conflicts. Love is what conquers hatred. So then the question comes, how did we develop love in situations of conflict? And what in the world is love? Because our usual view of love is what we hear on the radio. Don't you think? When you think of love, you know, isn't it kind of Hollywood type of love? Boy meets girl, and I can't live without you. is the first song is, I can't live without you, you're wonderful, you make me feel so good. And then it turns into, you betrayed me and you left me. Yeah. So the question comes, well, what does it mean to love people? You know? And why is our world so obsessed with romantic kind of love, you know? I mean, nobody sings songs about love for your parents or love for your brothers and sisters, do they? You know, it's all this kind of romantic, airy-fairy kind of stuff with sex mixed in. And we get really quite confused about what love means. So, let me say from a Buddhist viewpoint what love is, okay? This definition's very simple. It won't be hard to remember. Love is the wish for beings to have happiness and the causes of happiness. Okay? Yeah? Just that beings, that includes ourself. Okay? So love isn't just oriented towards others. It also means a sense of respect and love for ourselves. And it's the wish for beings to have happiness and the causes of happiness. Okay. Now, have you noticed that there aren't any conditions put on the definition of love? It's not, I wish you to have happiness and the causes of happiness as long as you like me. Or I wish for you to be happy as long as you give me presents and praise me and make me feel good. Okay. And it's not, I wish for you to be happy because you're my relative, or you live in the same country as I am, or you share the same political views or the same religious views as I do. In other words, in the definition of love, there's no qualification attached there, you know, that I love you as long as you fulfill something that has to do with, guess who? Me. Okay. And so if we look at this kind of love that is free of these kinds of conditions, we'll see how different it is from the love that we usually have right now, which is full of conditions. Yeah. I mean, if we look in our lives, don't you have a few conditions for why you love people? Do you love other people's parents as much as you love your own? Do you love somebody else's boyfriend as much as you love your own? Better not, huh? Do you love somebody who disagrees with you? Do you love somebody who harms you? Who talks about you behind your back? You know, our love has a lot of conditions, doesn't it? Yeah. And we may think it's kind of eternal, but our love changes a lot according to how people treat us. Yeah. And so that's why, from a Buddhist viewpoint, we differentiate between love and attachment. Okay? Because attachment has that same positive feeling towards others, but it has all these conditions with it, and so it's quite unreliable and changeable. Yeah. Whereas actual genuine love, you know, theoretically what we're aiming for is to extend it towards everybody, no matter who they are and no matter what they believe in and how they act. So how do we get from where we are now with our love that's very partial and very biased? How do we get from this to a more expanded feeling of love, you know, that isn't so partial, isn't so prejudiced, isn't so fickle? Okay, so this is the big question. Well, to do this, first we have to generate what's called equanimity. In other words, a mind that is free of attachment, okay, that holds some people dear, aversion that holds some people far away, and apathy, which doesn't care beans about somebody. Okay? Because these three things, attachment, aversion, and apathy, are often the basic emotions or attitudes that we have towards others. Okay? So if we ask ourselves, why are we attached to somebody? Think of somebody you're very attached to, who you really like, you love to be around them. Okay, now why do you have such positive feelings about that person? Yeah, why? Let me hear from you.
Because they treat me good.
Yeah, they treat me good. What else do they do?
Very often it's because you have qualities you yourself want to have.
Okay, so they have qualities that we admire. Mm-hmm. What else?
Same opinion or same wavelength.
Yeah, they're kind of on the same wavelength. They have the same opinions as we do, same interests. Okay. So that's about the people that we're attached to. Now, what about the people that we have anger or aversion towards? Why?
They act in a way that we think is
not. So they act in a way that we don't like. Yeah. Okay. Good. What else? What do you think? Yeah, they hurt me. Not so good, is it? Yeah. And what about people who we feel apathetic towards? Why? Some people you just feel indifferent, like, eh. They fell off the edge of the world. Who cares? Yeah. Why? Okay, so it doesn't concern us. What they do doesn't affect us. Now, have you heard in this little discussion, is there something common? Is there some word that you keep hearing? Something common in, you know, the answers for why we like, why we dislike, and why we're apathetic? What do you keep hearing? It's always about the others, but in relationship to me, isn't it? Yeah, they're nice to me. They agree with my ideas. They're on my team. Or they harm me. They harm my family. They disagree with my ideas. Or they don't affect me. Huh? Do you see how all three of these things, attachment, anger, and apathy, they're all revolving around center of the universe, me. Yeah? Isn't it? And this is how, you know, we each feel that we're kind of the center of the universe, don't we? Don't you? I mean, come on, be honest. Yeah? Who do you think about all day? What do you think about all day? Yeah? Who's number one in your life? Me. I mean, we're all alike. You don't have to be ashamed. Let's just be honest about the whole thing. Okay? I mean, who do you dream about at night? Yeah? I mean, we're the star of our life. So this self-centered attitude makes us judge and evaluate everybody in terms of how they relate to me. And we think we're being very objective, but in actual fact, we're being very biased, aren't we? Yeah. Because, you know, we think that if somebody's nice to me, then from their own side, that makes them a good person, doesn't it? And if this one over here is nasty to me and talks behind my back, then from his own side, he's a total idiot. Yeah. And you know what's very interesting is both this person and that person, both of them have some good qualities. Both of them have some faults. Don't you think? Everybody has some good qualities. Everybody has some faults. It's nothing new. Okay? But this one over here that I like, he shows his good qualities to me. So I say, good person. That one shows his faults to me. So I say, yuck, awful person. Okay? If this one over here showed his good qualities to somebody I didn't like, then what side's he on? Then he starts becoming yucky, doesn't he? Because he shows his good qualities to somebody who I don't like, so what does he know? And if this one shows his bad qualities to somebody I don't like, right on. Okay, so you see, we're not very objective in how we look at people. Yeah, because we're just, they both have good qualities, they both have bad qualities, but we're totally measuring everything in terms of center of the universe, me, which is, you know, I mean, we like to believe we're the center of the universe, and I really am. It's just the rest of the universe hasn't understood that yet. So they keep, everybody else keeps thinking they're the center of the universe, and they haven't gotten it that I am. Okay, this is kind of, you know, in the back of our mind what's going on. So what I'm getting at is that these judgments and evaluations of friend and enemy and stranger, person we like, you know, person that we're attached to, person we have aversion for, person that we're neutral or apathetic towards, that these classifications are completely arbitrary and very, very subjective. Don't you think? No? They change all the time. Somebody who's a friend, you know, one year, then later on they become a stranger if we lose touch with them. Or sometimes they become an enemy. Yeah? I mean, your girlfriend's wonderful until she's your ex-girlfriend. Then she goes on the enemy side. Similarly, with the enemy side, you know, change of circumstance, that person can become a neutral person, or they can become a friend. And if you don't believe this, look at international politics. I mean, what I'm describing is not just about our personal relationships, but international relationships. I mean, World War II, yeah? Britain, Singapore, US, we're all fighting Japan and Germany, right? Now, who are we good friends with? Japan and Germany, isn't it? You know? Then when I was growing up, my country was fighting Russia. Now, Bush and Putin are great friends. Yeah? A few years ago, my country was very buddy with the how do you say it, the people who were in Afghanistan, who created the Taliban government, you know?
Mujahideen.
Thank you. It's a difficult word for me. Yeah. So U.S. government was very friendly with them. Now, enemies. So just look at it, you know? This whole thing, flip-flopping, how relationships change. You know, we wait another 20 years, who knows what countries you're going to be friends with what countries? And who knows, on a personal level, who we're going to be friends with? You know, because these things are changing all the time. So what I'm getting at, okay, the point of this whole discussion is that being attached to some people, having hatred towards others, and being apathetic towards the third group is really dumb. Yeah? Because these relationships change all the time, and also because they're completely subjective. Yeah. And so if we can see this and let go of the attachment, the aversion, and the apathy, then it's much easier to have a sense of equal-hearted openness towards everybody. And that sense of equal-hearted openness is what allows us to develop love and compassion and a feeling of connection with others. Mm-hmm.